kids Christmas Eve, so let me start by wishing you all a very Merry Christmas. At the beginning of the homily. That shows the joy that we have at the birth of Christ the Lord. You know, many people, you know this, but many people don't know that the best way to celebrate Christmas is to come to Mass. The best way. Kahit sa labas, kahit walang upuan, standing room only, even if it seems difficult, this is the best way to celebrate Christmas because here we worship God. It's wonderful to get together with family members. It's wonderful to have the Noche Buena, exchange gifts, eat together, yes. But it's even more wonderful to worship God tonight and tomorrow. In the church, everyone can come and worship God, even people who can't celebrate the Noche Buena, even people who are separated from their families or who can't afford to have a festivity. Everyone can come to the church, worship God, and celebrate Christmas. So a special welcome to all of you who are here. There are always many guests and relatives from different places who come at Christmas. So welcome to all of you, and Merry Christmas to all of you. Now, everyone knows the story, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth in the little town of Bethlehem, the birth not only of another poor baby in the world, but the birth of the Savior of the world. We just heard the famous gospel passage from Luke chapter 2, which recounts that exact moment. In fact, it's a story that we never get tired of hearing. We love this story. But it does become familiar to us because we hear it and celebrate it every year. We see images of it every year. So there's a risk that we can start to treat it too superficially, simply as a nice story, or simply as a beloved cultural tradition, or perhaps a day for a celebration with children, a good time for a family vacation, or something like that. Maybe it's all of those things, but there's much more to Christmas than what we see on the surface. So tonight I'd like to ask a few questions, or reflect on a few questions with you, so that we can ponder more deeply what's going on here, and why Christmas is such a special day for us. And the three questions are these. First of all, why do we gather for Mass at midnight? And secondly, why was there no room for the Holy Family in Bethlehem? And then third, why was Jesus laid in a manger right after he was born? First of all, why do we gather for Mass at midnight? I know it's not midnight yet, but this is still considered the midnight Mass. Now, it's still a few hours before midnight, but the tradition is Mass at midnight. Why? The Gospel does not say exactly what time it was or even what day it was. Babies can be born at any time, day or night, as we know, and we don't even know when they're going to be born. But celebrating Christmas at midnight is an ancient practice. Is it because that's when the star appeared that led the Magi to Bethlehem? Can't see stars except at night. No, the main reason, the Gospel tells us, is the story of the shepherds who were keeping the night watch over their flock. The night watch. It was night. It was dark. And suddenly, an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So a sudden shift from darkness to glory, that's the key to the midnight tradition, or to the tradition of Jesus being born at midnight. But there's more to it than that. This also refers to the story of the Exodus, when the Israelites were suffering cruel slavery in Egypt, and the Lord gave a sign to convince the Pharaoh to let the people go. When? In the middle of the night, at midnight. What happened? The firstborn of the Israelites were saved by the blood of the Passover lamb at midnight. The Christmas story makes a point of of explaining that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, firstborn. He is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So it's fitting that we celebrate the arrival of this saving Lamb at midnight, the darkest hour, the moment of the deepest silence, the coldest, a time when we're normally asleep. When we least expect him, he comes, and the dark, cold, hopeless world is suddenly filled with light. Not ordinary light, heavenly light, glory. That's why midnight. Okay, secondly, why was there no room for the Holy Family in the inn? Now, again, the Gospel doesn't give us many details here, only that there was no room for them in the inn. So many traditions have grown around this little detail, including here in the Philippines, the Panululuyan, and the tradition that the Holy Family took their shelter in a stable or in a cave, a place where the animals were. Now, we can imagine many reasons why there was no room in the inn. Maybe Bethlehem is not a very big town, there weren't that many places. But maybe it was because they were poor. Maybe it was because Mary was so obviously pregnant and about to give birth. The poor are always the first to be excluded. And this is true in every age, including today. Just look under the bridges, or along the canals, or behind the construction sites, all over the city, and in every major city. What do we find? The poor. Poor people. Homeless people in makeshift homes. Sometimes places not even fit for animals. Worse than a stable. No one has made room for them. The society has not made room for them, so they stay wherever they can find shelter. So Christmas time, among other things, is a reminder to us of this common tendency of excluding the poor. Jesus himself was excluded. Now, we can't, on Christmas Eve or in one day, solve the problems of insufficient housing or unaffordable housing, but we can open our hearts. We can change our anti-poor attitudes, because the change starts in us, not in the society, in us. If there's no room in our hearts for the poor, then there's no room in our hearts for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Pregnant women, nursing mothers, newborn infants, they require more care. Who wants that extra demand on their time, on their resources? Many people fall into an anti-pregnancy, anti-child mentality. Christmas time warns us not to fall into that way of thinking. If we reject women in crisis, if we reject pregnant women, if we reject poor mothers with their babies, we reject the Lord. Jesus himself teaches us, whatever you do to the least, to the poorest, to the neediest, that is what you do to me. The little town of Bethlehem made no room for Jesus. We're being warned not to be like that. Okay, thirdly, why was Jesus laid in a manger right after he was born? Well, what's a manger? We never use that word in English, except at Christmas time. Sa Tagalog, sabsaban, sabi nila, sabsaban. I never hear that word except at Christmas time. Well, a manger is a feeding trough, right? A place for the animals to eat, the livestock, the cows, the donkeys, horses maybe, oxen. People don't eat from a manger. People don't sleep in mangers. But the Gospel mentions the manger not once, but twice. First of all, when Mary lays the baby there, and secondly, when the angel appears to the shepherds. In fact, the angel says to the shepherds, "This will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." It's part of the sign. Now, if we ponder this detail, and we put it together with the literal meaning of the name of the town, Bethlehem, which is house of bread, we realize that the Word of God is telling us something more about this child. Although the angel has already told us a lot, in fact, more than we can possibly take in. The angel said to the shepherds that this child is the Savior, that this child is the Messiah, this child is the Lord. But the story also presents him as bread. He comes to save, but he also comes to be eaten. This directs our hearts from the joy of Christmas Eve to the solemn words at the Last Supper, where Jesus says, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body." His body lying in the manger is being offered to us to eat. We don't think of it. We don't think of eating that little piece. But there's a very clear reference here to the bread of life, the Eucharist. The altar at every Mass is, yes, the place of sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice, but also a dining table. The altar is a manger. And on it suddenly appears the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the Lamb of God in the humble form of bread. In a sense, every Mass is a Christmas Eve Mass, because at every Mass, the Lord appears. He is seen on the altar, in the manger. Maybe that's enough to reflect on for now. This is the birthday of Jesus Christ. He comes in the darkness. He comes at midnight as the light of the world. He comes into a world which too often rejects him or offers him no room. He comes as a poor child, as the salvation of all who will accept him, who will make room for him. He comes to rest in a manger. He comes as the bread of life to give life to the world. All this and much more is why we celebrate with joy his birth on this Christmas Eve. Happy birthday, Lord Jesus. May our celebration of your birthday bring joy to the world and peace on earth.